listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, March 31st. My name is Michael Kelly and I'm here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Michael. Glad to be here.
Welcome to those listening, or welcome to those joining us live, as well as to those listening to the archives. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this broadcast, ICMH offers other educational programs that can be found at metaphysicsinstitute.org and tfuniversity.org. So we're going to begin tonight with our 9 abbreviated principles of belief. Those are, 1, do no harm, do right. 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, and one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6. We are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7. Self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. 8. Metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9. Expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. All right, so we'll delve into tonight's topic. It's going to be an interesting one. We're going to be talking about the cultural views of spirits and apparitions from around the world and throughout history. We're going to kind of take a look at it. So a lot of ways we can go. Dr. Hunter, we were just talking about how this is prevalent in every culture you can find on Earth. You have these spirits, these ghosts, either departed humans who have crossed over, or apparitions or spirits that are not human, that are perhaps demons, angels. Different cultures have, you know, fairies, elves, things like this. There's a long history throughout human culture of these paranormal creatures, these beings that exist that are not fully defined and that we can't fully understand, and they go back throughout known history and almost certainly predating written history. So, you know, we can look back at the Egyptians as kind of having really...
Well, the gods, and actually the Egyptians even alluded to the space people. It was biblical also.
Oh, right.
Christianity, but every history, or pardon me, every culture that we have so far been made aware of, and, you know, we're continuing to discover more history, but there's always depictions in the artwork about ethereal beings, and whether that's spaceships or, you know, the gods, you know, everybody, they call them gods, but really it's the spirit world. You know, and kind of the head honchos of the spirit world and gods or spirits that would rule the weather, you know, and the seasons and growing, and it's everywhere. I think that I know you were doing a bit of research there, Michael, even throughout Christianity, how they would consult the oracles. Are you there? You're muted.
No, I was not. You don't know that I was talking when I was muted. It's impossible to prove.
That had nothing but, to do with being intuitive. I was like, uh-oh. He muted again.
It is. It's interesting how each different culture looks at it. It, you know, we were talking about the Egyptians, we're talking about gods, and, you know, their view of the world definitely had an impact on how they viewed spirits or apparitions. The Egyptians had many gods. You know, over the course of their, you know, thousands of years of history, in terms of a relatively continuous culture through, you know, pharaohs and different kind of architectural periods, but largely the same culture, they had over 1,800 different gods for different things.
Wow, I didn't even know that.
Of course, you know, we know the most famous ones, but there were literally deities for everything, and they would be regional. And, of course, in this concept, and we'll start kind of in Mesopotamia and Egypt, we'll kind of move on and how that affected the Abrahamic religions that also sprung from the same place. And those Abrahamic religions being, you know, of course, ancient Judaism and the spring of Christianity. In Egyptian culture, it was always a bad omen to see a ghost. In fact, in many cultures, it was considered a very serious matter. It was considered something that is an omen of bad things to come. It was something that is dangerous on the horizon. And
that's that fear stuff again, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's, you know, fear of the unknown, but also, you know, it's, the soul shouldn't be here. It shouldn't be mingling with the living. It should be in the afterlife. So there's all these different thoughts that kind of compound onto this idea of seeing an apparition. Go ahead.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because in several indigenous cultures that I've had the privilege of, you know, sharing time with, you're not to mention the name of the dead for at least 1 year. So that you don't, you know, call that spirit back. You allow the spirit to be free. So the name is not to be spoken for at least 1 year. Interesting.
It is. You know, in Macedonian culture, or excuse me, Mesopotamian, not Macedonian, Mesopotamian culture, that was early, even predating some of the Egyptian culture, they had in afterlife a realm known as Akala, that was the land of no return, where souls would dwell. And there was no reason, no soul was ever permitted to leave Akala for any reason without it being replaced by a different soul. And the only time that there was special dispensation given by the gods was when a soul needed to complete some kind of mission. Therefore, they would appear to people on Earth. It was to bring attention to some wrong or bring attention to some kind of thing that needed to be fixed. And of course, this is an idea that sprung 5,000 years ago at the dawn of civilization. And yet we still kind of hold on to that as a modern thing, don't we? The idea, if a ghost is here, maybe it has a wrong to fix. If we see a ghost of a living, you know, a human being that lived once at one time, whose soul has not traveled beyond, it's kind of common in the, at least, pop culture mythology. I don't know too much into the, you know, kind of modern sense of it, but in the sense of, you know, pop culture, in terms of how people view it, a lot of people view it as somebody that needs to fix something. Something's not done. There was a justice that was not, you know, righted.
Served.
Served. An injustice that was not righted. A justice that was not served. And so this kind of idea has been hanging around for a long time. And of course, these early Mesopotamians and Egyptians, they, you know, continued to influence the other religions in the area, including the Abrahamic religions. It was, let's see, I'm going to go to a piece right here, because it was, even in the Hebrew Bible, there's references to ghosts. The most relevant being the reference in the book of Samuel, in which a disguised King Saul has the Witch of Endor, which is something I didn't know existed. I thought Endor was just a planet in Star Wars, but who knew? No, but the Witch of Endor is a woman who, according to the Hebrew Bible, was consulted by Saul to summon the spirit of the prophet Samuel in order to receive advice against the Philistines in battle. And so, even in the Hebrew scriptures of the Bible, even in the old Torah, there is mention of spirits being summoned, people being a famous, you know, prophet being summoned to give guidance to the people. So even in the relatively modern Abrahamic religion at that time, you have these spirits, and this continues on. Even when the Christians tried to stamp it out, they anything that's a spirit is of Satan. It's of demons and things trying to trick humanity. There are no such things as ghosts. And so the, you know, Catholic Church and the Orthodox Church, they would, anybody that would see them would be, you know, kind of described as maybe a witch, a Satanist, or something like that. Or, they, you know, they were being led astray by these people. And you have a different viewpoint on it, because how can a ghost exist? When somebody dies, they're immediately judged by God. How can that spirit come back to the land of the living? It must be a trick. Again, you can see how the cultural context of that society at that time shapes how they view these ghosts and apparitions. And, you know,
well, there's so much. I agree, and I think even, again, fear-based, you go back as long as that history is, and people fearing they'd done something wrong. If a storm came through, if the crops didn't do well, if the winter was particularly bad, they would feel that they had done something to displease the gods. You know,
yeah.
And so a lot of people would, lots of cultures did sacrifices in one form or another to please the gods, you know, and if anybody did have a dream, but see, this is, takes an interesting kind of turn here, because a lot of cultures had those oracles in their community, you know, the medicine people, the so-called the spirit people or shamans. Which is actually a Russian term, by the way.
I never knew.
I think in one of the dialects is spirit, so we call it shaman. I don't know where somebody in the New Age trendy thing picked up on it, but it's medicine people or spirit people, people who, as I've been told, those who walk with a thin veil, and the gifted ones would generally live on the periphery of the community and be taken care of, you know, because they are somebody who would, you know, consult the spirit world. And so, I mean, there's a lot of cultures that would honor that, but they, again, still feel fearful of it because they didn't understand or, again, fear-based, we've done something wrong. And Christianity took that to the nth degree. Which is an irony, because angels always appear, right?
Right.
Angels being spirits. And so, I mean, it's. I think that what's so fascinating about this is that we have very much the same thing going on today as we ever did. And that's a lot of people, whether you're really dogmatic in your beliefs of religion, you still have an inkling that there's something else out there.
Right.
You know, that there is something else. So I think unilaterally we can agree that humanity believes something else is there, but also taught to fear it and or fear those who claim to be able to talk to spirits.
Right.
So there's that, because it is so unknown. Right? It's outside of our...
Nothing more terrifying than the unknown.
Well, and to some people... Actually, the unknown... See, this is where some of us believe or feel that the spirit world is more trustworthy than the human world. And spirits don't scare me. People do.
That's a great way to look at it. You know, when I was younger, you know, you... Oh, probably like a adolescent or something, I would be thinking about, you know, these scary movies, horror movies with ghosts and, you know, all these kind of manner of dreadful things. And I would think about it and I would realize, you know, to be fair, just a regular person could do all these things. A person can kill you. They can torture you. I mean, look at the Saw movies. But there's nothing really inherently different about, there's no special threat from the paranormal. And when you actually look at what facts are out there, you see that ghosts cannot harm you. They cannot override your will.
Well, it's all a mind game, isn't it? You know, because in the event that someone is fearful, that's what that negative energy attaches to. So if you know who you are and you're basically not, you know, a fearful individual, spirits can't mess with your head. So
right.
You know, I mean, but that's, I think, I think that's always the hook. Like if you're a spirit thinking, but ah, those humans, like there's somebody I can get, you know, because he's a pissy kind of ghost, right? and got his issues, you know, unfinished business, so to speak, or, you know, carrying some kind of baggage. It's because there are those who are grounded and are as negative as people are. And,
Well,
they look for the victims.
Right. So. It's just like a human or a ghost, if you're a bully, they have some kind of, you know, sixth sense or instinct about who it would be a target.
Mm.
And, you know, if you're going to have those kind of personalities, that kind of behavior in the living world, if you will subscribe to the idea that the soul will live on and occasionally become ghosts that stay in this realm, then it's obviously going to come out that you're going to have some ghosts that are just assholes, excuse my language.
Yeah.
And but the thing is, they can't do anything unless you let them.
And you know, I very recently, when my late mentor, teacher Frank, passed on, as I keep in touch with his wife all the time, and I told her one day on the phone not too long ago, I said, you know, I just felt like Frank was here. And she goes, oh, I hope not. Mm-hmm. I hope he doesn't have any things to work out here. He should just move on. You know, and I thought, wow, because she adored him. You know, they were married for 50 years.
Yeah.
And, but she said that's for him and his journey. So that respect for him, as opposed to holding him here, you know, it's like being able to release somebody and let them go. And I thought, what an empowered moment that was, you know, just to feel that sense of, well, I hope he's not hanging around. That would be awful for him.
Yeah, and it's from a place of love. She wants him to be able to move on to the next phase of life.
Whatever. Yeah, whatever that is. So being able to, whatever issues we have going on here, what I hope is that I have enough sense to let that go and not stay grounded, you know.
Like, yeah.
Mind you, there are some people I would like to haunt, but... You know, why would I be bothered when
I'm
gone?
Who has the time? You know, I expect to be able to, you know, travel the astral planes to experience the abstract once I'm, into the next world. At least I hope.
Oh, but, we can hope for that. But, yeah, you know, this is such a, it is an interesting piece of research for anybody who wants to delve into cultures and the history of our common thread that humanity believes in, because that is the one thing that binds us all, is this curiosity about the other worlds. So it's not new. You know, a lot of people say, ooh, scary, that's new. No, it's not new. We've been doing this since, you know, we got here, I think.
Imagine the ghost stories being told around the campfires, you know, tens of thousands of years ago.
I believe that. I totally do. I think that we have this, and again, my view of it is that we have an innate knowing that there, we've come from somewhere and we return to that somewhere. And that connection to somewhere in our consciousness. So it's just that knowing. But we don't really know. We know,
right.
But we don't. And so that, again, the human view versus the spiritual view. So I think that curiosity. But to look back and say, well, you know, we're not alone with this. We're not alone with our thoughts or our beliefs. That, as you say, Michael, whether it's the time of the pyramids being built and the pharaohs and Egyptians, you know, going back even further, you know, when times before, it's just not new.
No, not at all. And the only thing that changes is the cultural context and how people view them. And, you know, we talked a little bit about Christianity and their attempt to stamp out the kind of spiritualism and these ideas of you know, not simply angels and demons, but things that exist like our relatives coming back or other spirits in the world. But you can see prime examples. I think that you know, I don't even know if this is really an appropriate term, but you know, some of the voodoo spiritualism that you see in the, you know, Caribbean, it being a mix of African animism and Christianity. And you, even though the church is trying to stamp it out, you always have a mix of cultures when they come together, and they will fit these ancient beliefs into this new system. And of course, that created a unique view on it. So it is all about context. It's all about the, unless you are somebody who is innately intuitive and who has a, perhaps a different look into things, or who has a closer relationship with spirits or apparitions or the afterlife in terms of being able to communicate on some level, like you said, Dr. Hunter, I would say that other people are simply going to be bound by the constraints of the society in which they grow up.
Yeah, totally. I'm always talking with people who are afraid of something in their house, a ghost in the house, and, you know, please, somebody, can you find somebody to clean my house? And I said, why would you want to do that?
Well, I want somebody to clean my house. Oh, you mean but, a ghost? I'm sorry. No, I just, yeah, there's laundry that needs to be done and dishes. What if the ghost can clean my house?
Yeah, you see? Yeah. I think that unless there's something's bothering you, like, leave it alone. That's good company. You know, they're... we are interacting with the other worlds all the time. If you happen to be conscious of it, or let's say a spirit or apparition is making themselves known in some way, that's maybe there's just a thin veil between the worlds of existence and different realities, you know, and even in a quantum sense where other realities are occurring simultaneously, and somehow that veil just kind of thinned for a minute. And it's like peeking into another, like the Matrix.
Right.
So, it's, see, in my reality, I think it's all kind of cool. And I don't, I'm always excited to see them. I was,
you know,
even very recently, I was down at Sharon's store, where I go to do readings occasionally, Pink Spotted Goat, cool little artisan shop. And her and I in the back, she's making up her lotions and potions, and we're talking, and I said, oh, I'll get that, because we heard people talking on the other side of the divider. And I go there, and there's nobody there. I looked at her, and I said, you heard that, right? She said, yeah. There were people talking. We both heard these voices talking, but no physical being. She goes, oh, Vicky, I'm never alone in this store. I said, that's so fun. But it's many times in that place. You know, whether it's something gets moved, you see somebody walk by, you you know, it's like fascinating. It's some places, and again, I think that has to do with the energy of the land, the building, the history. It could be residual energy, all, you know, a whole number of things. But we can all agree that at some level, we all believe in it, just Sharon and I aren't afraid of it.
Right.
So. We just shrug it off and say, that's cool.
That comes from, right, that comes from awareness. And I always have the thought that if I see a ghost, how do I even know that it's a ghost? How do I know it's a... if I see a long-lost relative, you know, when you don't know, you don't know. I've always gone to the extreme. It could be an extraterrestrial that has telepathic ability that's beaming an image into my head because he's bored. You know, it's... you don't know. We're not on an even playing field. I'm simply
those
subject...
are the sci-fi shows showing up in your brain again, Michael.
Well, anything is possible. And, you know, when we expand our awareness to realize the endless nature of the universe and how many infinite sources of life are likely out there, it really opens the doors. And then when you take that into the multi-dimensional idea of the universe, then we can kind of look at apparitions in that way too. And we have talked about this. We've talked about this with things like Sasquatch, etc., that we're potentially being able to cross, you know, dimensions. And I, you know, I find it interesting. I don't know. Again, it's unverifiable. So it's a fascinating thought, and it would be interesting if we could one day reach the level of understanding of the world around us to where the ancient mysticisms would become fully explained by our level of scientific awareness, by which I mean our awareness of the world around us, not in materialistic terms, but in true scientific terms of being able to understand. You know, maybe when we understand the quantum level a bit more, we can understand all of these things that we've dealt with for millennia as a species. And
well, we do inch closer to it, so
we do. And as we kind of wrap up the segment, you know, Dr. Edward put in chat Santeria in reference to a African religion being kind of combined with Catholicism, which is true. I looked it up. It is heavily in Cuba, and which led me to just as a little side note, there are actually many different African diaspora religions that combined with Christianity in different colonies in different parts of the world. In Cuba, they have Santeria, and in Haiti and Dominican Republic, they have different versions of voodoo. In Jamaica, they have a whole slew of different things. It's actually quite a varied list. So just a little aside on that, but I will say that in my notes, I did have a mention you had talked about ghosts often coming in dreams. Well, it is very common in Africa for ghosts to appear in dreams primarily. They don't see ghosts, you know, per se, in their conscious awake life. They see them in their dreams, and it portends, you know, things to come sometime. Well, very often bad things, again, back to that fear. So I guess the only thing I would have to say as we kind of wrap up on this topic is, it is just heavily dependent on the cultural context in which you live, but it is a fascinating thing that dates back to the very dawn of human history, this idea of the world beyond, this idea that there was a world beyond. And it's just continuing on to the modern era.
Well, you alluded to something there too, Michael, where, you know, there were people who would go into an altered state with some kind of, you know, plant or otherwise, what, ayahuasca, what is the other, but to get that altered state so you could have that spiritual experience.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, seeing apparitions and getting messages from the other world. Yeah. So there are lots of people crave it, want it, you know. So
absolutely. Well, we want to understand. Yeah. We want to be able to, and we want to know about the afterlife. We want to know what comes next. And seeing this gives us some kind of inkling, you know, seeing apparitions, seeing ghosts, and kind of exploring the topic gives us some kind of inkling to what it might be. And for a lot of people, it gives them a sense of comfort that, you know, this isn't the end. The Egyptians thought that non-existence was the absolute worst thing. Hell would be better than non-existence. That was a nightmare to them, culturally.
But they had to take all their stuff with them.
They did. I mean, just think about lugging that stuff across the afterlife. You know, I get they bury it with it, but, you know, are they going to have, like, a moving truck when you get there? I mean, you could say it's a millennia after its time, but I also saw that hieroglyph of the airplane, so I don't know. But,
well. That's fine. So shall we get on with it? Like, I honestly love this topic. I find it so interesting. I love the history. It's fascinating. Culture is a fascinating topic, and when you put it all together, you say, wow, we're more alike than we realize.
Oh, absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
But getting on to the next segment, there's a few people who would like cards, Michael.
Absolutely.
I wrote it in the chat with our group here tonight, and
I was able to multitask while I was ranting and raving about whatever topic I was talking about to start jotting some names down, so I think we're ready. So we're going to start pulling some cards from our inner oracle deck, and we're going to compare those with tarot.
Yep,
and we have Jamil up first, if I'm not mistaken.
We do.
And Jamil, I have number 15 for you, belief system and knowledge base. All right.
Hey.
We each operate life from an existing belief system, and sometimes the solution or direction lies outside of our belief system. Equally, when knowledge is expanded, a belief system calls for revision. Consider that opening the mind for more information and knowledge may be required, subsequently adjusting a belief system. Know that the knowledge you seek is within.
Well, Jamil, I got the Eight of Clubs in support of that. You know, what comes to mind, Jamil, what I want to say to you is sometimes when you know a little more and you become knowledgeable and you've expanded your belief systems, and other people don't have access or haven't been exposed to that, it can be burdensome. So you might feel a disconnect with others at times, you know, where it's kind of hard to have the same conversation because you're on different wavelengths. But you can't impose on people. So that's what I mean. It can feel like a burden where, So I hope you know where I'm going with this. It's like that belief systems, your knowledge base, and you keep growing. But that Eight of Clubs says, you know, that can feel like a stress. And other people aren't tapping into the same place that you are. So that will pass, I must say. And you find different commonalities with people, you know, as you move through these little shifts and changes. So I hope that makes sense to you. It feels, I know it sounds negative. It's not at all. It's just addressing something in a new way for you to help explain how you might feel a little bit different from others or not quite as connected with others for a minute. Hope that makes sense.
Interesting. All right, so we have our card keeper, Wendy, next.
We do so.
And Wendy, I have number 45 in the Inner Oracle deck, Inspiration and Motivation. Inspiration and motivation come from hope. Motivation means finding a meaningful reason to do something. Look within for inspiration leading to motivation by reflecting on your goals and the life you want to live. Drive and accomplishment may be missing from your life, or your life may revolve too heavily around it. Remain balanced, inspired, and motivated with the vigor of positive energy.
Well, I like that. And I like the Five of Clubs for you in support of that, Wendy. That's, it can happen without effort. You know, without, at least what I'm picking up from this, it's, you might find that you're more connected with people than you realize for certain goals. Like you're not alone with what you feel, and that group effort gives you an extra motivation. At least that's how I put the story together here. So I feel kind of excited for you about something. It's like you're getting support from unsuspecting sources in making some changes coming up, not radical changes, but enough where you feel more confident going forward. So I like that. I kind of get the little shivers. We'll have to keep us posted
interesting
on that. Yeah. And thanks for the feedback on that, Jamil. Sometimes I get these feelings with cards, and you know, in a very short amount of time, it's hard to explain. But thanks for the feedback on your cards. So,
you know, when it comes to those kind of abstract feelings, verbal language just does not do justice.
Yeah, so inadequate sometimes.
It is. But, all right, we have Dr. Edward next.
All right, Edward.
I have wild card number 8, freedom.
I like that.
Freedom is a state of being. It is an unencumbered mind that can remain open and move forward. Freedom is the ability to recreate the self, shedding old ideas that no longer serve any purpose for present and future evolution. Freedom is the knowing of who and what one is as a free and sovereign being of the universe. Freedom means one can be or do anything one wants within the limits of do no harm and do right.
Well, the Jack of Hearts is a real support to that and coming from your heart. I take that literally here. That's the Knight of Cups in tarot language. So think of it as a youthfulness, a rejuvenation in some way, Edward. And something, I kind of get this feeling, something unlocking, you know, where it's, oh, that feels better. So it might be something old that you've unloaded, you know, something that was bothering you, some old baggage maybe, an old memory that was haunting, but you didn't even know it. And so it's, I feel like there's, I don't know, I feel like you're unlocking some kind of new energy in your emotional body and your spiritual body. That's exciting.
That is exciting. Nice message.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right.
Audra. Nice to have you here, Audra, and your son listening. It's great.
Always a pleasure. All right, and Audra, tonight I have number 27, Gains. All right, let's see. Every choice and action has a trade-off and result. What are you willing to trade for this result or gain? A secondary gain has a price for getting what we want, and the price is denial of the truth of a situation or behavior. This may be a time to assess if something needs to be traded for improved benefits. Healthy decisions are sure to bring about positive results and satisfying gains.
Audra, don't take this literally. Think of it as symbolic, and there's a metaphor here. But the lovers is the support energy in that. That has everything to do with passion. And you have gains, and you're looking at your life, looking at kind of reviewing things a little bit. What is your passion? Where does your heart want to go? You know, sometimes you just have those overwhelming feelings of, I've got to do this. I've got to go somewhere. There's somewhere I have to be. And it's follow that little voice, because it's telling you that that's the next step. It does mean you have to give up some things sometimes, but the desire to go and move forward outweighs, you know, the desire to hold on to things that no longer belong or are needed in your life. So I think you're in that transition, but the question here is, where is the passion? That's exciting. Follow it.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
That's a very nice message. All right. Well, I think that is everybody for tonight. And, of course, I'm just going to scroll through chat one more time, make sure we didn't miss anyone. But I think that is everyone. And I guess that brings us to the conclusion of tonight's broadcast. And we're going to be kind of wrapping up here in a minute. But, you know, it's been an interesting one. They're all interesting. There's so much research to pore over. I'm kicking myself for not making more detailed notes and going into it, because I had few things that I wanted to talk about. And I think we touched on them. We talked about, you know, the commonality of spirits and apparitions throughout human cultures, something that you had remarked on, Dr. Hunter, very well. Mm-hmm. We kind of delved into the overall, you know, concept of the fact that it's the cultural context that you view them in. And Audra from chat had made a point that isn't an interesting thought if, you know, talking about how different cultures see ghosts differently. For example, several African cultures seeing ghosts only in their dreams. She said that perhaps different places and cultures make different connections or agreements with the other side. And I think that's a very interesting thought. As we kind of wrap up, we can talk about how it would be perhaps the sum total of unconscious belief, or just belief in general, of a group of people that, you know, come together and kind of influence how that group of people sees the afterlife. It's an interesting thought, I think. So just wanted to give you a shout out for that. And so I think it's been a good one. It's been a fun one. Any last words, Dr. Hunter, on this topic?
Reading through the chat, good conversations going on, and thanks for the feedback. Audra said that those symbols that came up for her tonight made perfect sense, and that she knows now she's on the right track, thinking the right things for herself. So I'm very excited to hear that.
That's great
so
to hear. It is.
It is. And, you know, this is the last Wednesday of March 2021.
I know.
You know, it's moving by, mind you, I feel like we're in a time warp, but it's moving by really quickly. We go into April. You know, we are working on a few things, everybody, to change up the format. We're a little bit behind on, you know, what we thought of doing, because there's a little more involved than, you know, of course you always anticipate, but that's cool. So we're going to get there. This year is going to bring some changes, and I know that, again, there's so much stress out there, everyone, but we're going to get through this. Please buddy up, partner up, support each other, you know, lend a hand, ask for a hand, make sure that you know you're not by yourself.
Absolutely.
There's always somebody and more people who understand than you realize. So we're all in this together. And
that's right.
And even if you reach out to this family, you know, because we are a family here, so we're here for you. Sometimes if for nothing else than to be an ear and for moral support. But there's your neighbors, your family, your friends. There's always somebody.
There is. And no one is an island. We all depend on one another. And it's not, there's nothing wrong with leaning on one another. So thank you all for joining us tonight. Thank you for allowing me to lean on you a little bit, Dr. Hunter. And
are you kidding, Michael? You're just the greatest joy. I look forward to Wednesday night.
You are too kind.
No, I'm serious. You know, everyone, I know that you all know this, but Michael is a sharp young guy. And I can call him a young guy because I'm old. But
I'll take it.
Insightful, quick on his feet. It's just a joy to do the program with you, Michael.
Likewise. Likewise, and it's definitely my pleasure. I am going to continue to claim that I am the one that benefits more out of this, but thank you very much for those kind words. And again, thank you to everyone that joins us. It is my absolute pleasure to get to spend some time with each and every one of you every week, get some interaction in the chat, get some great ideas, and, you know, we're looking forward to you joining us next week. We don't have a topic announced yet, but we're going to think of something great, and it's going to be fascinating. In fact, it will be the best topic we've ever had. I guarantee it. Please note, guarantees are void in the United States, Europe, Africa, and Asia, but not South America. So if you're there, it's going to be the best one ever. But anyway, so thank you everybody for joining us. I hope that you can join us next week. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. And until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.